Tennessee, 56-0 win over UTEP here in a November non-conference game, a Saturday afternoon tilt. And it goes in favor of the Tennessee Volunteers, as we expected here on the post-game mini podcast. I'm Eric Kane. Alongside Austin Price and Brent Hubbs, going to give a shout out to our friends over at GBO Snacks, the officially licensed snacks of Tennessee Athletics. Whether you're hungry at work, on a road trip, or just need a little pick-me-up, GBO Snacks are the perfect choice to satisfy that Rocky Top craving. The Vol bars are made with toasted oats, almonds, 100% real chocolate, and just the right amount of protein to satisfy that afternoon hunger. Ideal for grab-and-go, gluten-free Vol snacks are must-have for those kids when managing the sweet cravings wherever you go. And with every purchase of a GBO snack, you're contributing to UT Athletics. Proceeds from every single sale will go directly to supporting the Vol student athletes. Order yours today. Visit www.gbosnacks.com. That is gbosnacks.com. Again, 56-0 is the final score. Tennessee, Brent, in a game where, man, it was kind of ugly early. It was a bad start, but they did exactly what we thought was going to happen. Maybe not pitching a shutout, but it was a whole lot to a little. They finished strong. I thought Nico played very, very well after that first quarter. I thought the defense came around as well. And, that's all great, but a win over UTEP's not the story of the day. The early windows really worked in favor of Tennessee. That's the story. Indiana got, lost by 23 points. Florida upset Ole Miss, and we'll wait until Tuesday night, but Tennessee is going to be ranked and be back in the field of play in the college football playoff rankings.
Yeah, no doubt. And first of all, let's talk about just quickly on UTEP. I mean, real simple. I mean, Tennessee's Jimmys and Joes better than their Jimmys and Joes, and that's what's supposed to happen. And Tennessee took care of business there. As for the early window stuff, I mean, the Ole Miss loss is huge for Tennessee's hopes, and where Tennessee's at puts them squarely back in the middle of it. Takes Ole Miss out of the equation with three losses now. It's if you're Tennessee, that's where you want to be. Means you go to Nashville next week with everything on the line. You're probably pulling for Texas to beat Texas A&M just to make sure nothing crazy happens to you. But everything's in front of you going to Nashville next week to take on Vanderbilt.
Couldn't agree more. I mean, this is what you wanted to have happen. You wanted to kind of know where you stood going into the Vanderbilt game. If you didn't, you still were, still had paths to the playoffs. But I thought this week was the week where Tennessee had a chance to see one of those paths open up. It opened up, a couple of them opened up. We'll see what happens the rest of the night with Notre Dame, and obviously Penn State and Minnesota are battling to a really close game right now. But this is a situation where, Tennessee with an older group, I think that helps them next week, because you do have, the Brew-McCoy, Cooper Mays, Amari Thomas, those veteran guys that should be able to snap everybody into going, hey guys, we started slow today. We can't do that next week.
Well, it starts at the quarterback spot. Okay, let's just be real honest here. I mean, you can't start 2 of 6 for 14 yards.
Yeah.
But I mean, today it was 2 of 6 for 14 yards and a bunch of open receivers.
And his first pass should have been intercepted.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those that should have been. I mean, and Swirl's wide open. I mean, you got to start better there. Now he got hot. That they did a good job of, I think, giving him some easier stuff to get him going and got him in a rhythm. Because he had missed that other deep ball that he had later, before he got going really well. And, to their credit, the middle of the field opened up, and, they're playing against a team that couldn't defend them. And so you should take big time advantage of them. Again, learn from this. You cannot be a slow starting team. You need to start fast like you did at Georgia, and then you need to finish like you did today against UTEP. And that's the bottom line.
Miles Kitzelman, Holden Stacey. I mean, those tight ends, they continue to work them really well. I like what they're doing in the tight end game.
Ethan Davis caught a touchdown.
Ethan Davis caught a touchdown. You're right. And that was two straight catches for him. I was glad they kind of went back to him because he was so close. Normally you don't see that. I was like, oh, here's Dylan Sampson, go vulture another one. But
he literally said that. He literally said that. Which we're all thinking it too.
So, I mean, I just like how they're using him. And I think that's a nice safety blanket for Nico, especially if he starts slow. Like, you just kind of have, some old reliables for him to be able to turn to. And, once he kind of got going, he was really good. Samson, they were able to kind of get him out of the game, only 11 carries on the day. And, I like what Peyton Lewis is doing. I thought Cam Seldon ran the ball pretty hard tonight down there late in the game. So, this is a, again, we talked about the two-man drill. The Boo Carter move, to me, has been the biggest game changer for the offense because it gives them a chance to spark something when nothing is there. When they're maybe in a little bit of a funk, they can kind of spark it with a short field.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
Boo for the, I mean, it feels like the third straight game. He's, you know, stolen some points for Tennessee. He set up two touchdowns for Tennessee. He's been really, really good looking at it. And going back to talking about some of those adjustments for Nico, because he was really bad to start off. And this might be where it's like, okay, well, this, you know, it's a play caller. Maybe you're getting too greedy. Maybe you're getting too impatient. But clearly they lined up, and as they should. You look at UTEP and say, I'm better than you. We're going to try to throw down the field, have some explosive plays early on, and it just wasn't working. When Nico was getting on, they went to the quick game. They went to the quick game. They brought it into him. You were winning first and second down. You were able to run your tempo. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, if you're not winning first down, you don't really have much tempo. And I thought that was a nice adjustment there to kind of get him going.
I'm not trying to be critical. This could come across critical, so I'll just put it on there. That's not really my intent, but it almost feels like they forget about the tight ends as a weapon at times. Let's go back to last week. They open up the game. Kitzelman has two catches on the opening drive. They don't target him again the rest of the half. Just not a factor. To your point, tonight or today, this was, hey, we're going to throw it over your head. We're going to be what we are with all of our receivers. Okay, wait a minute. We're 2 for 6 for 14 yards. Hey, let's find the tight ends. And all of a sudden, guess what happens in the second quarter? Kitzelman gets a catch. Holden Stays gets two catches. You know, Ethan Davis gets two catches. Now you got a little rhythm in what you're going. Like, they got to lean. I know that's not what necessarily anybody wants to hear, maybe even they want to hear. They got to lean on those guys a little bit more, because that gives Nico a chance to get going with some of that stuff that they can do with them out in the flat or on the quick outs and the quick game, as you're talking about, Eric.
Yeah, and again, I think that getting him just some momentum early, you know, sometimes I think, you know, a deep shot is warranted early in the game, but I think with Nico, you almost got to kind of just, you know, get him some momentum.
Build him up.
Look at last week at Georgia. I mean, you brought the point. I mean, that's the pretty good. I mean, like, he was in such rhythm out of the gate, and then all of a sudden just kind of lost it. So, I mean, I'm with you.
Now, the first throw was a rhythm throw. I mean,
that was a bad throw. Squirrel. That was a terrible. And he said that afterwards. Yeah, He's like, I missed a touchdown. Yeah. He missed a touchdown. He did.
And that happens sometimes, but in make it easier for him to get going. I think that's going to be key next week. It's a much better secondary you're going to play next week. They've been stingy defensively. They're pretty good up front. And Tennessee, again, struggled with pass protection. 3 more sacks. One of those clearly on Nico at the end of the first half. Got to throw that ball away there. But there was some, you know, just straight pressure where they didn't, you know, just run throughs. They didn't pick somebody up. They didn't find the nickelback coming on the blitz and that type of thing. Vanderbilt will be aggressive next week. Tennessee's going to have an answer for some of that.
Yeah, you cannot start off the way you did tonight at Vanderbilt, you know, with that mobile quarterback and some of the success that they've had so far this season. Tennessee's start, first 3 possessions, 2 3 and outs, 11 plays, 22 yards, just horrible. Fourth series of the game, I don't know if we haven't had a chance to talk about this so far after the game, but fourth series of the game, Javontis Brackens comes in. It was Jackson Lampley, and I kind of joke like maybe he's a spark plug. But he goes in and they score on their next two possessions. But he was out for the first like couple series of this game. You know, Dane Davis was rotating in. You saw Larry Johnson there in the third quarter, the fourth quarter, play a little left tackle. It felt like, yeah, you know, as a group, they allowed too much pressure on the offensive line, but they were kind of mixing and matching more so in this game than I thought they had been in quite some time.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, kind of what they're. I mean, they've rotated a decent amount there, and I don't know exactly why or what they were looking for. And again, I mean, early on, I thought they handled some of the pressure stuff pretty well. It's just, you know, 2 of 6 for 14 yards. And you know, you get it fixed. And give Nico credit, man. Yeah. He did not let it get him down. They got him going. And when he got hot, he got hot.
He threw the ball really well.
And the second quarter on, he played really, really well. 15 of 17.
Yeah.
Ball was accurate. His timing was better. He ran the football with his legs a little bit. Really liked the way that he played the last 3 quarters, which gives you, you know, helps you like where you're at with Tennessee going to Nashville next week.
Yeah, I thought he was really good and played really well, as he should against a team like UTEP, the final 3 quarters, or really the 2 quarters before he came out and handed over to Gaspipe. Defensively, again, this is UTEP. I understand that, but defensively, it is good to see Tennessee get in the backfield a little bit. I thought James Pierce was a wrecking crew tonight. I thought he had a really good game in certain situations. And Tennessee, again, understand that UTEP, 15 tackles for loss. I don't care who you're playing, Austin. When you come off a game against Georgia where you were, what, no sacks, 2 TFLs?
Yep.
Those numbers are good to see.
It is. They were very active all night long. And they were back there, you know, I mean, I remember Rob saying that, you know, about early in the fourth quarter, Tennessee had 14. What did they end up with?
I mean, 15.
Yeah, I mean, it's only one from there to the house. But, I mean, you know, you're right. I mean, they were. And how many times did they have the quarterback run for his life? And he made good plays.
So many times.
Two or three throws off platform. You're like, dang, that's a heck of a play. And so, again, you're going to see something similar next week with Pavia. So I think that type of quarterback tonight is a good simulation for what you're going to see next week because Pavia is able to spin out of things. He's crafty, just makes kind of something out of nothing sometimes. So I think seeing that type of quarterback tonight probably is a great, you know, kind of feel out for next week.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. And again, I think the other thing, and look, they should manhandle them up front. James Pierce should have had a field day today. That tackle couldn't get out of a stance sometimes when he was coming after him. The thing that stood out to me today is I thought Tennessee weathered the trick play stuff early on, didn't really give up anything crazy. You know, gave up the one play on the throwback, but other than that, they were pretty good with all the crazy stuff. They got more eye candy than they could ever imagine. I mean, there was motions and shifts everywhere. I thought in the back end, Tennessee was really sound. I thought Ricky Gibson, who's played well all year, I thought he played really well. I think he's continuing to get more physical. And, I mean, how do you not like the way Jamond McCoy plays and then Boo Carter downhill with some of that underneath stuff? I thought that was – my takeaway from the defense was the defensive line did what they were supposed to do. Linebackers didn't get picked on as much as I thought because I thought Tennessee's corners and nickelback played really well downhill close to the line of scrimmage with all that underneath stuff that UTEP wanted to run.
Yeah, I mean, there was one point Tom McCoy made a break on the ball and Grant turned and said, I don't think he – literally could have done anything better on that play. I mean, it's the definition of T-shape. Ricky Gibson had a couple of plays. Jalen McMurray, I mean, there was one play where the guy was wide open there, you know, plus out of the 50, and, you know, thought he maybe score a touchdown. I thought Jalen McMurray showed good closing speed to close that gap and go make a play on it as well. And part of that's because of the pressure up front, but I thought the secondary looked really, really good. Good to see Brew McCoy get in the end zone twice, Austin. He hadn't had a touchdown all year long. Cookies everywhere for Tennessee fans, and I thought they made a point. I said this in the GameQuest podcast. My bold prediction, as I pat myself on the back, was Brew McCoy would have two touchdowns because he's a senior. It's senior day. They're going to make it a point to go to him when they're in the red zone. They did do that. It was good to see him do that. It's good to see Peyton Lewis score two touchdowns, and good to see Cam Seldon get in the end zone.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think that for Tennessee, you know, it's just about building momentum. After the first quarter, well, they had no momentum. They were able to get some momentum offensively. They were able to get – you know, just kind of some rhythm. And, yeah, sure. I mean, if you're Brew, it's your last go around. You know, it's cool to see. I hated Mike kind of lost that one touchdown and ended up going to Squirrel just because, you know, you finally got him out there. He makes a nice catch. Then you go back to him. He makes a touchdown. Then it's off the board.
So, yeah, that was a bad off. I mean, that was a good call for offensive pass interference because Oldest Davis was straight up blocking. Like, he was not even trying to run a route.
Yeah.
He was squared up like it was a run play block.
But on the very next play, he has the block that did it get him in the end zone. It was back. They scored on that next play, right? You're talking about the touchdown that got called back?
Yeah.
And then they scored on that next play?
Yeah.
He had a block that got the guy to the end zone. So it was good on him. Well, you're right. It was offensive pass.
And here's the thing. And I like coaches that do this. So the second touchdown for Brew McCoy, they moved him to the slot. Brew McCoy hadn't lined up in the slot all year long.
Yeah.
They moved him to the slot to get him to score. To get him in the end zone again.
Where have we seen that? Brazel, Alabama. Yeah.
That was for Brew. That was, let's get Brew a touchdown. Yeah. Let's move him to the slot. Maybe that was his first one. It was his first one. Let's move him in there and get him in the end zone. And hey, I know Mike Matthews didn't catch it. I love the fact that they let Gaston Moore throw one in the end zone and try to get a score there on senior day. I mean, good for them. I mean, I got no problem with anything that you ever do like that for those kids. They put in all the work and all the time. You know, make it happen. So I love the fact they tried to get Gaston Moore one, and they obviously – and they moved Brew to the slot to make sure he would get one. Because that – I mean, typically that's a Squirrel White touchdown because he's in the slot there. But they moved Brew in there to make sure he got the touchdown.
Yeah, and Rob made the comment. It's so true. Like, normally you, like, bring in your backup, and it's the game kind of game manager. But, like, when Gaston Moore comes in, it's like, man, let's throw this thing, man. Like,
I don't know if it's called or not, but he's throwing it. I mean, early on, when he first comes in,
well,
he's
you know what, man?
Away.
He stuck around here. He didn't have to stick around. He could have went down to a different level and played.
Sure, absolutely.
And he stuck let around here. So it. I don't blame him. I would too. Like, I mean, I hate it when Navy Shuler was in there. Now they let him throw a couple passes or one or two. But like most of them, just hand off. Man, come on, man. Let him run the offense. This is Navy Shuler. It's his last go around.
I would have totally
hurt.
I would have totally kept it on one of those zone reads if I was Navy Shuler.
I would have kept it if I was Gaston Moore, because had he kept it, he would have been running. and like, I mean, that's. You know, I guess for me, like the nostalgia, you know, Shuler out there at the end, it's his last go around. Why not? I mean, this is the same Josh Heupel that challenged a spot up 49 or 56, you know, in the fourth.
Anybody know why he called timeout with 2 seconds left?
So he could scheme up to get somebody a sack? I don't know.
I mean, it wasn't, yeah. I don't know that they got anybody else on the field, did they? I mean, I don't know if they played any more defensively or they substituted there. I didn't really understand that one, but again, listen, this was a payday game. Yep. UTEP got paid. What are you supposed to do on payday games? You're supposed to handle your business. For 15 minutes, it was a gross.
Yeah.
But for the last 45, Tennessee did what they needed to do. All the while, they were getting the help they needed to get in the college football world. And now you go to the last week of November, and there's nobody more relevant the last week of November than Tennessee's going to be when it comes to the talk of college football, right? Because, I mean, if Texas loses, I don't think Texas is out if they lose to A&M, right? I mean, Tennessee may be the one team that is a win it and you're in team.
Yeah.
You
know? I mean, it's the whole Texas thing is another conversation.
The question
we don't have time
is,
for
do they drop Indiana to?
Sure does.
Right? Like, Indiana lost by 3 scores today, and Danny Cannell and Joel Klatt and all the anti-SEC people can you know, boo-hoo all they want. Indiana's going to be in because Ole Miss lost. That's the best thing to happen today to the committee, because they really, in my opinion, they want it to be 4-4. Now you can drop Indiana to that last spot in and know that, like, they're not going to lose to Purdue. That'll get you your 4-4, but it also doesn't draw the ire of, hey, they finally played somebody and they lost by 3 scores.
Well, here's the thing. If A&M wins these last 2 games and goes to the SEC championship, they might not have a choice to go 5-3 and drop Indiana.
Hey, or Tennessee could be in trouble there.
No, you're exactly right.
That's why if you're a Tennessee fan, you're pulling for Texas next week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get A&M out of the equation.
What should happen in that scenario, and again, that's a scenario.
Well, Texas should be out because they've beaten no one all year.
Yes, because that's what I was going to say. You stack these resumes, like Texas' resume is atrocious compared, you know, in that scenario. But Indiana, again, conversation for another day, Indiana strength of schedule, all that type of stuff, and they lost by 23 against a team with a pulse, the only one that they faced all year long. We'll see what happens. We'll see what the committee says. I mean, it'll be interesting, though, but you're right. Tennessee's going to be very relevant this month.
The spin that certain people are putting out there about this Indiana loss is the equivalent of, like, political spin you see right before the election. Like, some of the dumbest stuff you've ever seen. Well, you know, I mean, if it wasn't for special teams, oh, I forgot special teams didn't exist. Like, it doesn't count. Like, hello, General Nealon. Like, it's a third of the game.
Right.
Like,
and Tennessee dominated special teams, by the way.
They did, but I mean, like, Indiana
dropped a punt and set up first and goal at the 5 for Ohio State. They returned a punt for a touchdown. Yeah, special teams, sure. If special teams wasn't a part of the game, then absolutely you might have won. But
yeah,
it played a massive role in that game. So I'll be intrigued to see what the committee says on Tuesday night. Regardless, because of you got the help here in the early window, and we'll see what happens later on. Tennessee, I mean, in all likelihood, you were going to be back in the field to play. And if you handle business next week against what people are saying is a quality win for other teams, you're not going to fall out.
Well, and as a result of what happened today, it doesn't feel like next week is a beauty contest game. It's just a go win it game,
yeah.
Which is, I think that's the mindset you want to have and you got to have, is just go win it. Don't try to be, you know, don't try to be really sexy. I think Tennessee was trying to be really pretty early, right?
I agree. And
a bunch of big shots. This is just go win the game.
Yeah.
Because you think if you win the game, you handle business and you're in good shape.
I didn't have to look back to 2016. Like, they had everything in front of them,
that's right.
You know, after they had played all of the big three.
Yep.
And
they go to South Carolina
and laid an egg. Then they lost to Vanderbilt, which didn't matter as much, but it mattered maybe for like a potential Sugar Bowl deal. But like either way, like you had everything in front of you after playing the big three. You have everything in front of you playing after the big three. So, you know,
well,
just go get a win.
And you talk about your culture, you talk about your competitiveness, you talk about your leadership, veteran team, and all those things. When you look at that stuff, It's a situation where that all should come into play. It should all come into Tennessee's favor. It needs to show up Saturday.
For as bad as it was for maybe the first 15 minutes of this game and how bad, you know, everything going on and the game and, you know, Indiana was winning there for a moment and all this type of stuff. Boy, what an afternoon for the University of Tennessee. You walk, if you're a Tennessee fan, you were in England Stadium, you walk away feeling great today.
And still, maybe the coolest moment all day was when I saw a longtime Tennessee employee, Danny Burnley, run through the tee, you know, as he, you know, is getting up there. And, you know, who knows what the future holds for him. But
he's going to retire. You know, and so good for him. Yeah. I mean, I think he'll still be around and help some on game days, but he's not going to be a full-time employee. He's been a full-time employee here since he was a student manager.
As the last time he ran through the tee.
Yeah, and what a great thrill for him. Nobody loves Tennessee more than Danny Burnley. So
yep.
Hats off to Danny Burnley for doing it. Whoever drug him and made him do it.
I agree. Because yeah, he didn't want to do it.
He didn't want to do it, but he will. I'm sure he's happy wherever he's at tonight. He's happy that he did it and well-deserved. What a great career and how much he's helped so many people, former players, current players, everybody managing tickets and everything he's done for the University of Tennessee. Well-deserved, Danny.
With your purchase of a GBO snack, you're contributing to UT Athletics. Proceeds from every sale go directly to the sporting of those of all student athletes. Order yours today. 100% real chocolate, just the right amount of protein as well. GBO Snacks, GBOsnacks.com. Again, GBOsnacks.com. Proud presenting sponsor here of the postcast or postgame mini pod. Tennessee 56, UTEP 0. The Volunteers approved a 9-2 on the season. And it's going to be a big-time week, Thanksgiving week, as Tennessee prepares for Vanderbilt. Got to win that game next weekend. Of course, the college football playoff rankings come out on Tuesday. We'll have you covered from every single angle over at VolQuest.com.